Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
All right, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, we're coming up on election month here in Nebraska and in many states around the United States. I'm not sure that having an election month is helpful to our country, to the citizenship that we share. I believe that election day would be more helpful, more conducive to not only free and fair elections, but also to training up the next generation on the importance of what it is to be able to vote in our country. Nevertheless, we got what we got, and that is an election month. And so here we are in early October, getting ready to start voting in Nebraska on October the 7th. And we'll be voting all the way through November 5th. So that's a long haul. What we want to do then is, far ahead of election day, is talk through the initiatives that will be on the Nebraska ballot this year. If you're not in Nebraska, some of these initiatives may be on your ballot in another state, probably worded a little bit differently, or may have already been on your ballot and passed or not passed in your state. But you'll be able to find out, if you're not in Nebraska, what's going on in Nebraska, and potentially also learn about what's going on in your state as well. So there are six initiatives on the ballot in Nebraska. At least that's my understanding at this point, but things can be a little bit fluid. So let's go through them, and we'll talk about them from a biblical perspective, which is what I want to do, rather than just give you my opinions. I'll talk about it from a biblical perspective, from God's Word. So there we go. All right, let's start out with the first one. Paid sick leave. If approved, Nebraska employers with fewer than 20 workers would have to offer at least 5 days of paid sick leave per year, or 1 hour for every 30 hours worked. Employers with 20 or more workers would have to offer at least 7 days per year. The requirements would take effect October of 2025, so next year. So let's think about this from a biblical perspective. There's probably a couple sides to this, and you'll have to sort out how you're going to vote on this. On the one hand, love to have every worker have 5 days of paid sick leave per year, or seven if you have if you're a larger employer. What a blessing it is to have that kind of opportunity to have paid sick leave. Particularly, my sense is, I haven't looked at the exact wording of this, but my sense is that would cover also sick leave of parents with children and kids, particularly in childcare and early elementary. They're always getting sick. So that would be a wonderful blessing to the workers. On the other hand, let's look at it from the employer's perspective. The employer, let's say I have, starting up a small business, 5 employees, struggling to make it, risking probably mortgaged my house, emptied out my savings to try to get the business going. And then the government comes along and says, well, you haven't done enough. You need to have 5 days of paid sick leave per year per employee. And what does that mean? Either I get less work done from that employee, or I have to hire someone else to cover for those employees out on sick leave during the time they're out, and it costs me more money. Whose money is it? It's my money. I'm the employer. And yet the government tells me, no, well, it's better if you don't have that money. It's better if this other person has the money. And so we're going to mandate that you give that money to someone else. You don't have a choice what to do with the money God's entrusted to you. We're going to tell you what to do with it. So, I think there's two ways to look at this. And on the one hand, it would be great for employees to have this kind of benefit across the board. On the other hand, whose money is it to start with, and who's God given that money to, entrusted that money to use as they see fit and as they believe that they're stewarding it for God's, as God would have them do it. Right. Two sides to that one. We'll see how that goes as we get into the ballot and as it gets voted on. Next initiative is medical marijuana. It's a pair of initiatives, actually, that would effectively legalize medical marijuana if they're both approved. One is a patient protection petition, and that allows qualified patients to use marijuana for medical conditions with the recommendation of a healthcare provider, and it legally protects the providers. It would also allow caregivers to assist patients in using medical marijuana if necessary. The second one would set up a regulatory process for the manufacture and distribution of medical marijuana to patients. Well, I've heard, you know, pros and cons on this these petitions about medical marijuana. Heard very passionate appeals on behalf of those and by those who are suffering with various medical conditions, saying that this is the only answer. This is the only, not cure, but it helps to helps them to deal with life. And this life can be very, very difficult to deal with, depending on medical conditions that you have, for sure. So I've heard very passionate appeals to say we desperately need to approve these petitions. Heard others on the other side say, you know, this is a real problem in terms of the use of marijuana in our culture, that marijuana today is not the same as marijuana back in the 60s, 1960s, that is. And for those of you not old enough to have been around then. And so this is a dangerous, dangerous petition. I have on the screen here for those of you on YouTube, but I'll read it out to you for those who are not. I'd encourage you to research this. I think there's, again, with this one, as with the previous one, there's some arguments to be made on both sides. Medicalmarijuana.procon.org, medicalmarijuana.procon.org. It's a great place to start. There's other opportunities out there to just look up on the internet and say, what's the pros and cons of medical marijuana? It's been tried in a lot of places around the country. How's it working out? What are the pros and cons? So medicalmarijuana.procon.org is a website to get started in your research on that. So I encourage you to that. All right. Now here we go. This next one has clear biblical teaching, and so we'll get to it here. Abortion rights. There's going to be two competing measures on the ballot. We've gone over these in previous podcasts in great detail, but there's going to be competing measures on the ballot that would dramatically expand abortion rights, or would limit abortion rights. And actually, that's not totally true. What it would do is put our current abortion law in Nebraska into the Nebraska Constitution. It would not further limit abortion rights. But nevertheless, the Secretary of State has said that whichever receives the most votes yes will become law. Okay? So here we go. These are the two ballot initiatives that are competing with one another. And one is to amend the state constitution to ban most abortions after the first trimester, with certain exceptions for medical emergencies or in the cases involving sexual assault or incest. Okay? That's Nebraska law now. What that does is puts it into the Constitution as a baseline. So here's the language. The language is called, the title of this is called Protect Women and Children. And here's the language, quote, Article 1 of the Nebraska Constitution shall be amended by adding a new Section 31 that states as follows, quote, except when a woman seeks an abortion necessitated by a medical emergency or when the pregnancy results from sexual assault or incest, unborn children shall be protected from abortion in the second and third trimesters, unquote. So my comment on this is it's not what I would want in an ideal world. However, we don't live in an ideal world. We live in the real world, and we don't live in utopia. And so what this does is this Protect Women and Children initiative establishes a baseline of protection for unborn children, particularly in the second and third trimesters, with exceptions for medical emergencies, not life and health of the mother, we'll talk about that later, but for medical emergencies or when the pregnancy results in from sexual assault or incest. So the amendment does not say, or this initiative does not say, that further protections could not be put into law by our legislature, further protections for unborn children, and I would argue protections for mothers of the unborn children. It doesn't say that further protections could not be put into law, but it says this is the baseline. We have at least this protection for unborn children. And right now, that's what we have in Nebraska. So it's basically, as I said, putting the current law into the Constitution of Nebraska to try to make it more firm and more strong. The only reason that this is being is out there, the only reason this initiative is being made, is because of another initiative that was put forth in Nebraska, which we'll get to in a moment. And this other initiative is extreme. It gets rid of all restrictions on all abortions, anytime, anywhere, any place in Nebraska. And that extreme abortion, just getting rid of all restrictions, that has passed in other states where it's been tried. And so the fear was amongst pro-life people in Nebraska that that initiative, which I'm going to share with you in a moment, would pass here if there wasn't some other way, some other opportunity to vote to protect women and children. And so that's why this petition is on the ballot. Now, here is the other abortion option that's going to be on the ballot. It's called Protect Our Rights. And this would amend the state's constitution to establish the right to an abortion up until fetal viability or later to protect the health of the pregnant woman. It's interesting that the Journal Star here, which is where I'm getting this information comes from, it calls it the pregnant woman. Interesting. We'll see that in a minute. So what we're going to see in this Protect Our Rights initiative, and if you want to delve into this further, check out my May 21st, 2024 podcast. May 21st, 2024 is where I talked about this in depth, went through it word by word. But this Protect Our Rights initiative would, I'm telling you, allow abortion for any reason to any person of any age at any time, no parental consent, there'd be no restrictions anywhere on abortion. And so this Protect Our Rights initiative would, for instance, allow someone to take a 13-year-old who was pregnant, take her to the abortion clinic, get the abortion, and parents would never even know. For instance, that's one thing that would happen with this petition, with this initiative. It's extreme. And so it's important that we vote no on this. But here's the language of it. And again, you can check out the May 21st, 2024 podcast for more information. Quote, Article 1 of the Nebraska Constitution shall be amended by adding a new Section 31 that states as shown, quote, all persons, no age limit, all persons shall have a fundamental right to abortion until fetal viability, well, we'll see about that, or when needed to protect the life or health of the pregnant patient without interference from the state or its political subdivisions. Here's what fetal viability means. Fetal viability means the point in the pregnancy when, in the professional judgment of the patient's treating healthcare practitioner, not doctor, just whoever is the healthcare practitioner, in the professional judgment of the patient's treating healthcare practitioner, there is a significant likelihood of the fetus's sustained survival outside of the uterus without the application of extraordinary medical measures. Whatever extraordinary medical measures means, I don't know, but unquote, that's what it ends. It could be the NICU for all I know. So the point is there are a lot of pieces in this Protect Our Rights initiative that are completely undefined in the law. And what it would do is eliminate restrictions that a huge majority of Nebraskans agree upon. Parental notification restrictions that we already have in place. Age of the unborn child's restrictions we already have in place. Consulting with doctors. Carrying out abortions in a way that would allow the woman to be safe and survive. Nothing in here about that. Nothing in here about having to have good medical oversight. Not that the child's surviving, but at least the woman's surviving. So there's all sorts of problems with this. We just have to vote no on it. And this is why that other initiative was put forward, so that we'd have an opportunity to vote yes and put into our Constitution the current restrictions on abortion. All right, let's go to the next one. Repeal private school scholarships. So what has happened here in Nebraska, we can't go through the whole history of it, but we are the last state in the nation, as far as I know, the last state to have any form of school choice whatsoever. Last year, a number of things happened in the legislature, but one of the things that happened was LB 1402 was passed, and it allocated $10 million of taxpayer dollars for low-income children whose parents want to send them to non-public schools, and there's other restrictions and things, but that's the basic idea. The point is $10 million of taxpayer dollars going to low-income parents to help if they want to send their kids to a non-public school of some sort, whatever it might be, charter school, private school, religious school, whatever it might be. So this amendment then would, Nebraskans will be able to repeal part of a recent law that appropriates state funds to support school student scholarships to private and faith-based K through 12 schools. And that's the $10 million. Now, you may believe that that no state dollars should go, be able to be used by parents to educate their children in a non-public school, that parents must choose, if they're going to use state dollars, a public school. On the other hand, let me give you some information about this that might not be, you might not see out there in the public. Right now, our Nebraska state allocates $1.3 billion for public education. $1.3 billion. LB 1402 allocates 10 million of that, 1.3 billion, not to go to a school, but to go to parents who say, I think I would like my child educated over here, that that's what's best for my child. It's basically saying that parents should be able to choose where their kids go to school and what's best for their kids, which I believe is a biblical thing, that parents are given the responsibility to raise our children. And we're accountable to God for how we raise our children. The state is not given the responsibility to raise children. The school system is not given the responsibility to raise children. The parents are given a responsibility to raise children, and they are accountable to God to do their best. And many of these parents are taxpayers as well. So 10 million out of 1.3 billion going to these low-income children. That is, I did the percentage, I ran the percentage, that's 0.008%. And that's rounded up, going to low-income kids whose parents want them to go to non-public schools. And that leaves 99.99%, 99.992 actually, a little more than 99.99% of dollars going for education going to public schools. So you understand, while this is, yes, you'll hear it's taking money away from public schools still have over 99.99% of the money they had before. So essentially they have it all. You should also know that the statistics I was able to find show that 80% of kids go to public school. So only 80% of kids go to public school, but public schools have 99.99 plus percent of the money. 10% of kids in Nebraska go to non-public schools, and 10% of kids in Nebraska are homeschooled. I think those are rounded off numbers. They look rounded off to me, but that's the numbers I was able to find. If you find numbers that are different from that, certainly let us know. But anyway, that's the issue, and my sense of that is, for what it's worth from where I sit, parents are given the responsibility to raise our kids. And so it would be important to me for parents to be able to be, the government to facilitate parents making choices for their kids to be able to raise their kids in the way that they believe God's called them to do that. So that's what we got for you there. That those are the ballot initiatives on the Nebraska ballot this fall. Hopefully that's helpful to you as you go into the voting booth to be able to vote wisely. Encourage you to be voting, but of course to be informed. And if you've gotten to this point in the podcast, well, you're at least a person who I think is striving to be informed. A couple of things we went over that I would encourage you to do further research on, a couple of things that are pretty clear biblically, and some others in between. So there you have it. That's what we got for you today. We'll be back again at some point with the issues that we face as a nation and those things that will impact us as we vote for in the national elections as well. Write us, if you like, eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts, or if you have any thing that you thought should be that we missed on this podcast, let us know. And we'd love to be able to respond to that and get in dialogue with you. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will be restored, renewed, and fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.